Okay, I don't even know what to say because this is maybe the most awesomest Prickly City podcast in the history of podcasting ever.
Welcome to a very special Prickly City podcast. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine. And this is so awesome. This is the first time, by the way, the podcast has been recorded on and off since 2006. You are the first guests I have ever had on. So if you're going to have guests, you may as well have the next president and vice president of the United States, Governor Gary Johnson, Governor Bill Weld. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, that's great.
It's awesome.
I really appreciate it. We have had, it sounds like there's a committee. There's not. It's me. Have pretty much endorsed your campaign in my comic strip, which is, I know it's weird. I don't know that that's ever happened before, but I have two characters. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. Winslow is a coyote cub, and Carmen, who's a little girl of indeterminate ethnicity, and they're kind of me, and they're kind of you, and that they're broken in two different ways. She's conservative, he's liberal. The strip started over 10 years ago during the Kerry Bush campaign, when there was a difference. That wasn't as bad as it is today. So let me express my duality. Now, you guys, your campaign, your ad campaigns and so on, you think like Americans think, Governor.
I believe that. I believe most Americans are fiscally conservative and socially agnostic. And by agnostic, they really don't care, and meaning just don't force your conservative agenda on anyone else. I think that's reflective of most Americans.
Yeah, I love that line because I said, I really don't care what bathroom you have to use. If you have to pee, you have to pee.
Live and let live. Keep government out of the bedroom. Keep government out of my pocketbook.
Now, you both, I know you've been asked this before. You've run as Republicans. You considered yourselves libertarian. The Republican Party, and people say, well, were they, libertarians in Republican clothing? I mean, the Republican Party had a pretty big tent back then where the people like us, libertarian conservatives, had a place.
Yeah, I worked in the Reagan administration for 7 years, and we were half libertarians and half social conservatives, and we joked about it in the morning and then went out and got Reagan's job done, or got the work done. And that, when you got midway through the 90s, attitudes had hardened on both sides. It's one reason why they have so much gridlock in Washington. They can't seem to get anything done down there, and we think we could be kind of a long, cool drink of water and change that equation.
What do you suppose caused that, by the way? I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, but what? Why? Why did this happen?
I think partly it was gerrymandering, which is fixing the districts to protect incumbents. That meant the Democrats got more liberal and free spending, and the Republicans got more hardened and movement conservative on social issues.
So going forward, if someone who's listening to you for the first time, we're going to go into comments in a moment. This is what we do on this podcast. We usually just read comments and so on about the strip. When I mentioned that Carmen was going to go to work for your campaign because she couldn't vote for Trump, I mean, we've got a pathological liar versus a petulant child. That's what we're facing. But when I mentioned your campaign and that one of the characters was going to go, the traditionally conservative character was going to go to work for your campaign, Janine, tripled, quadrupled?
At least quadrupled.
Quadrupled the number of comments of a comic strip that's been around for over a decade. So, I mean, congratulations. People are paying attention. When someone's on the fence for you, how do you push them over? How do you say, this is the right thing to do? Because one of the reactions is, this is nuts. You guys can't win. You guys are, you want my baby to smoke marijuana. Go across the fence. But how do you calm those fears and say, listen, you guys are going to be awesome?
Well, I'd like to do this from an objective standpoint, so I always make the pitch to get online and take the political quiz isidewith.com. Don't you owe it to yourself to find out who philosophically you line up with? And isidewith.com. Get online, really easy, answer 60 questions. At the end of the 60 questions, you get paired up with the presidential candidate most in line with your views. And then shouldn't you just knock yourself out supporting that candidate? Well, in 2012, I was the next president of the United States based on just being in line with what most people think. But I think you've got to do that for yourself, and I think it's really an objective way of doing this. Now, a homeless person could theoretically be in line with what most people in this country believe, but I don't think a homeless person is going to end up getting elected president of the United States. Bill Weldon, myself, two former Republican governors serving in heavily Democrat states, two terms each, getting reelected by bigger margins the second time than the first time. I think we're really qualified to actually do this.
That's yeah, and that shows Governor that Weldon's. We have the inclination to reach across the aisle to get things done, because we both had majority Democratic legislators, and yet we succeeded in cutting the budget, which is not the first position of many Democrats. But we, you know, we put through our programs, and the voters appreciated it and responded. And I think if we succeed in this election, and we go to the Dems and the R's in Congress and say, look, we've got plenty of Dems and plenty of R's in our administration. We're not partisan. We're not going to give you a bunch of sanctimonious speeches about why you have to do it our way. Let's just work it out. That could be very refreshing in Washington, D.C. That would be a novel approach, and I think it would be more likely to break through the partisan gridlock than any amount of partisan finger-pointing.
Now, after both of your first terms, you had cut taxes, you had saved money. After the end of your second terms, you had, Governor Johnson, you had over $1 billion surplus. Is that without raising taxes
a
cent?
Yeah.
Same for you, Governor Weld,
right?
Yes,
we had very good fiscal results.
How do you do that in a blue state? Listen, we live here in Illinois. I don't know if you read the news, but our bonds are now at junk level here at the state level. City level, it's two clicks below. The schools are, I think, three or four clicks below junk bond. How do you do that? How did you guys do that in a blue state?
I think what people saw, I don't mean to speak for Bill, but I think what people saw was just an equality, just that, wow, here's somebody that really is striving for equal opportunity. And that government can, in fact, level the playing field for everybody. Can government play a role when it comes to income equality? I'm going to argue no. But can government play a role when it comes to opportunity equality? I absolutely believe that they can.
So we cut the budget in real terms. When I came into office in Massachusetts, the state was flat on its back. The outgoing administration had said we're bankrupt. And we responded by a conservative approach to the budget so that we started living within our means. But that turned out to be good for employment, because businesses had confidence that taxes were only going to go in one direction, namely down. So they started hiring more people. And at the end of my first term, the unemployment rate in Massachusetts had gone from the highest among the then 11 industrial states to the lowest. And that's why we got the big reelect numbers.
Now, did you guys have line item vetoes?
Yes.
I did. I took line item veto to a new art form. I believe
how many
I
times?
Had thousands of line item vetoes, but 750 vetoes outright. Well, you know, that wasn't obstructionist kind of vetoes. It was vetoes that really showed that, you know, there was an equality about it all, that we should spend less. There was an admission that, okay, the goal's laudable, but is spending this amount of money going to make any difference? Well, I said no, and was very obviously highly publicized for all those vetoes.
Well, currently there's not a line item veto for the president on the federal budget. So, you know, you get the, you know, we've got to save people with cancer bill. Unfortunately, there's a bridge rider on it from funding on. Would you be fearless on that and just say, we can't do it with this rider?
I think Bill and I are both going to err on the fearless side of this, but the devil is in the details, Scott, and we'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, you might try it. You certainly can go after the bridge, I think, the bridge to nowhere, by saying this doesn't have anything to do with cancer, and this is what you voted into office, a couple of fearless guys when it comes to taking this whole thing on.
So we're both warriors, but we're happy warriors. Mm-hmm. We're not mean-spirited warriors. And yeah. I think that would be a difference in Washington, D.C. also.
You're not going to call anyone a fatty or a loser or make fun of their handicap?
Right now, you know, there are a lot of people casting stones about Melania and her speech last night. And, hey, come on. Maybe it's a lot of pressure on her. I'm not trying to point out here what may or may not have happened. But you know what? She's under a lot of pressure. She's put in a position that she never dreamed she'd be in. And did she look it up online and was just trying to come up with something to say, or did somebody else? Well, they probably shouldn't have done that, but come on, you know, give them a break.
Well, plus they were
cliches anyway, so anyone could have said them. She put them in slightly different order. But
yeah, I mean,
but
know,
that's
husband
we're,
good.
We're not the stone throwers here. There are plenty of others.
Which is unusual now in politics. It seems it's all it is stone throwing and.
Well, and this is not a new leaf for either of us. Serving in heavily Democrat states, you don't get anywhere. You certainly don't get anywhere with voters by being stone throwers. You've got to communicate, and I think communicating with a smile on your face is a good way.
Well, Calvin,
a good starter.
I just finished a biography of Calvin Coolidge. It was fascinating, as fascinating as that can be. But they talked about his presence. You know, he ran in every election. He never ever mentioned his opposition.
I ran two campaigns for governor where I did not mention my opponent in print, radio, or television. I think people are desperate. I think people really want to vote for someone as opposed to the lesser of two evils.
And that's what it's come down to. It seems right now, if you look at the two, you're going to vote against somebody. And that's a hell of a reason. First of all, it doesn't motivate anyone to vote.
Coolidge had a great sense of humor. A lady met him when he was vice president. She said, "I'm Mrs. Jones." He said, "How do you do? I'm Calvin Coolidge, the vice president." She said, "Oh, what do you do?" He said, "I just did it."
Well, it was also, wasn't he sitting next to Lady, was it Lady Astor? And she said, or at state dinner, and she leaned over and said, "My friend said we could get you to, I could get you to say three words in a row." And he looked at her and goes, "You lose." But he would also take, I mean, think about this for a moment. He would take the Secretary of the Treasury and they would hold up in the Oval Office and go over the budget line by line for up to three hours a day. That was great governance. And he left with like you guys, left with a big surplus, lower taxes. I mean, if you pay attention, you can probably do this.
And interesting that you should say that, Scott. When I became governor, before I actually took the oath of office, I submerged myself in the dollars and cents. You know, you got to know where the beans are, for starters, and I would do the same as president of the United States. You got to know where the dollars and cents are, and you need to be able to tackle this. So we would be proposing a balanced budget as president and vice president.
Every governor in every state except Vermont has a constitutional duty to submit a balanced budget. It'd be nice to have that at the federal level.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because here in Illinois, they just didn't make a budget. So it didn't have to be balanced. I'm serious.
Oh, I get it. And the federal government doesn't have to balance budgets. In my opinion, there is going to be a consequence to this. The consequence, in my opinion, is going to be inflation. And it's, at some point, going to be a horrible inflation.
Well, it really is unfair to the American people to keep spending money that we don't have. It hollows out the economy. It's bad for employment. It undermines our position in international markets. It just, long term, it doesn't make any sense. Short term, it may make you feel better because you're saying to the voters, "I brought you something else that's free." But nothing is free. You know, there's no such thing as government money. There's only taxpayers' money.
So you're telling me that our people who aren't particularly friendly, like China, who owns most of our debt right now, that's a bad thing?
I'm sorry?
China having much of our debt, that's not a bad thing?
That's not a great thing. Of course, Mr. Trump says he's going to go and threaten them with a 45% tariff unless they renegotiate the interest on the debt. That's not going to happen either.
Well, now, see, you and I, I'm speaking with Governor Weld, who's the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, and of course, Gary Johnson, the presidential candidate, is here as well. But you and I are big fans of Friedrich Hayek.
Right.
I actually add a third person to that.
Really? Yeah, I went to the Institute of Humane Studies, who has intensive weekends and have been to a number of those, so have read much of Friedrich Hayek, so we can...
Just talk about China for a second. So they hold all this debt. Is that a good thing? Yeah. Isn't that a good thing? Are they really our enemy holding that kind of debt? Really? Are we going to go to war with China when they're holding as much debt as they are with the United States?
On the other hand, the fact that our national debt is going to exceed $20 trillion by the time President Obama leaves office, that's not a good thing. That puts us in a weaker position internationally than we would otherwise be in.
Sure. Janine, we have some comments. Here on Prickly City Podcast, we read comments from readers and emails and such. So what do we have?
I was going to say that probably the number one comment we have gotten is that by voting for you guys, people are throwing their votes away. They are ensuring that, depending on their viewpoint, either Hillary or Donald Trump will win. How do you answer that?
Well, throwing your vote away is voting for somebody that you don't believe in. So if you want to throw your vote away for either Trump or Clinton, you know, that's something you got to live with.
Exactly.
What Gary's saying is that since we're fiscally responsible and socially tolerant and inclusive, we agree with 55% of the American people. So the waste is out on the fringes. It's not in the middle.
Well, I'm actually use this in describing you guys when the character is, you know, she gets charged with the same thing. And I quote Eugene Debs. So when I start quoting socialists, you know, something's desperately wrong. He was the perennial socialist candidate in the early part of the 20th century. When he said, I'd rather vote for something I want and not get it than vote for something I don't want and get it. So that would be my response for you. Just helping out. Apparently you don't need it, but I thought I'd throw it out there. So what are some of the other comments?
Okay. Dave tweeted that in your strip saying that the media was ignoring these guys. Is that you saying that the media ignoring Johnson, whose platform begins with pot? A lot of those, too. Ellie tweeted that you should vote for Trump because he doesn't drink or do drugs. But you guys, ugh.
Well, how about the, you know, gosh, talking about the war on drugs, talking about the fact that 100 plus million Americans have consumed marijuana and given a wrong set of circumstances, which includes our current president. He's not president. He's behind bars given the wrong set of circumstances. So there's a reality to this. And the reality is, what difference does it make how you live your life? What difference does it make what you put in your body as long as whatever you do doesn't harm anyone else? And in that context, I'd like people to think that we're honest and forthright and honest, telling the truth. You know what? That means that you can acknowledge mistakes as quickly as possible. And we're not immune from making mistakes. But there's nothing faster than fixing a mistake than by first recognizing that you made it.
Now, is New Mexico, are they voting to legalize this time around also? I can't remember. The list is 12 states.
They've got a very restrictive medical program, which is a plus. I really think that California in November is going to vote to legalize it recreationally. And I think that when they do that, I think that legislatures around the country are just going to embrace it and make it happen. I think that November is going to really be the tipping point nationally.
What else? Janine?
Okay. Well, on the same subject, Mugen said that he's got to admit, when Johnson said he had stopped smoking marijuana for the election run, that made me like him a bit more.
Well, and what I don't want to do is I don't want to cast any judgment on anyone that's going to come home and have a couple of drinks to take the edge off the day, and I don't want to cast any judgment on somebody who's going to come home and consume marijuana to take the edge off of the day. But I have always maintained that you shouldn't be on the job impaired, and running for president of the United States is a 24/7 endeavor, and being president of the United States is a 24/7 endeavor. So
are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying running? I mean, this campaign has just...
Oh, I love it. I have a bad character. I enjoy politics. I even enjoy fundraising, unlike many people. So, no, this is all ice cream for me. And there's something I want to get done. You know, I want to get us elected because I want to do things. I want to, you know, wrap our arms around the federal budget. I want to bring more camaraderie to the enterprise of lawmaking in Washington. I want to get away from the nastiness and the partisan gridlock that we now have in D.C. There's a lot of things I want to do. No, we really are happy warriors.
Now, Governor, did you run for president? Because I can remember talking about you very highly, but I can't remember.
There was some talk about that in 96, and I decided instead to throw in with Pete Wilson of California, who I thought had a better shot than I did.
No, presidential. That didn't go well.
But no, I mean, he got something on his vocal cords, so he couldn't give speeches. So I actually had the experience of running for president for about 3 months, giving speeches for Pete Wilson because he'd lost his voice. But it turned out that was not going to wash.
And you ran in
2012 cycle, yes. It was the Libertarian nominee. Record number of votes, 1.3 million. I was kind of disappointed with the results, but I was told that, you know what, don't be disappointed at all, that, you know, that's a lot of people, and we did all the right things, and don't be disappointed. So this go-around, Scott, I have to tell you, this is actually fun. In the 2012 cycle, for me, 90% of what I did during that cycle ended up to be wasted time. Well, insanity would be repeating stuff that doesn't work.
How was that? How was it a waste of time? What did you do that was a waste of time?
Well, I probably spent 24/7 months on end doing internet radio, and there's some internet radio that's worth doing, this being an example
of
that.
Of course.
But there are so many podcasts that I envisioned the person conducting the interview as someone in their mid-40s sitting in their basement in their underwear, and that the only audience was their parents on the next floor up. Well, there's only so much of that you can do. You can't get elected president of the United States one person at a time. And this go-round, being at the level that we're at right now, a lot of attention, a lot of really an insatiable appetite for us to be on national media. So it's fun. This is fun.
As of this recording, you mentioned earlier that this was a CNN poll had you at 12?
13 over the weekend.
Oh,
yeah,
so you're getting
13.
Close.
Oh, very much
being
so.
In the debate.
Now, you said 4 years ago the bar was at 3% to get into the debates.
No, not 3%. That was the Republican debates.
Okay.
And the issue was never the results in the polls. The issue was not being in the polls that determined who was in the debates. I mean, that's the manipulation of this. That's the rigged game nature of all this. It's a rigged game from the standpoint that nobody notices what I just mentioned. You know, look, if you're not in the polls, and they say that you have to be at 2% to be in the debates, well, that's an impossibility.
Yeah, I actually have mentioned. I obviously we're. Those of us who like your message and like what you guys are saying are hoping you get in the debate. And my God, that would be amazing. You'd be the only adult and the only human being on the stage.
We would be speaking truth to power.
It would be awesome. It really would be awesome. Do you have any more other comments?
Well, we have one comment that I think you will probably like. Kavisky said, Whoever would have thunk that libertarians would become the middle ground in election politics?
a big, wide, six-lane highway right down the middle.
That guy's a pogo reader. Oh, to think it. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? A cartoon reference. Governor Weld, thank you.
Exactly
hey,
right.
Listen, guys, Governor Johnson, Governor Weld, thank you. Godspeed. Obviously, you're going to continue to write about you in the strip and talk about you on the podcast. Janine, thank you for doing this. Michael, is Michael over there? Michael has left the room. Apparently, he just got fed up. Okay, but anyway, Michael, thank you for all that to WGN. If you want,
maybe he went to go get a libertarian sign.
Maybe. That'd be awesome. Where can we get all that stuff, by the way? You guys haven't given us web pages.
Online. JohnsonWeld2016.com? .com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
And check out the new ad.
Check out the
they
new
just
ad.
Posted a new ad and donate, by the way. I'm serious. Put your money where your mouth is, people. Gee whiz. Anyway, if you want to comment or join the conversation, you can go to gocomics.com/pricklycity or go to scottstantis.com or email us directly at pricklycity@gmail.com. Governors, thank you so much again.
Thank you, Scott.
Until next time, we'll see you guys in the funny papers.
All right.